Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 41. Then I'm going to read a couple of verses in Matthew 5. So 9 and 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. And when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into an upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, prayed, turned him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And last week we talked about doing my part. Today we're going to talk about doing good. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the instruction it gives. And I pray today we'll hear what the Spirit says to the church, let it find good ground in us, encourage us, change us, challenge us, help us to be better. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. God bless you this morning. Doing good. Doing good. You know, when people come to God, we come, our first step is repentance. And, you know, that's turning away from the old life, from evil things, wickedness, sin, you know, the things that were ungodly. And sometimes that's all we associate with coming to God, is just turning away from things. And you know, that's what the world believes about a lot of Christians, is that, oh, y'all just them people that can't do nothing. You know, y'all so holy, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there, and they just, and even, you know, if you look at the Ten Commandments, which all Christians, like, I love the Ten Commandments, 8 out of 10 are thou shalt not. 8 times in the Ten Commandments it says thou shalt not. And so we realize that that is part of serving God, coming to God. We must turn from things. We must come to Him. Repentance is a turning, but do you know that repentance comes from goodness? The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The list that Paul made in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read this verse quite often, but he talks about the things that we used to be, but we are no longer that because of the name of Jesus and the Spirit of our God. He says, you know, you were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. So we understand that flesh and blood and unrighteousness cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we we understand the putting away of evil things. If you read the end of the book, you know, a lot of people say that's our victory book because we've read the end of the book and we win. Well, that's whether I read the end of the book or not, we've won. It doesn't matter about that. But Revelation 21 tells us that there are people who have done certain things, and a lot of them are the list that Paul just made that says they will find themselves in a lake of fire, and that they will not enter into that holy city. There's no place for them there. So we do preach a lot of times, you know, we must turn from things. That's just part of it. That should not be the only message that we preach. We're not going to be a very effective church if all we do is run from bad stuff. Because then you won't want to be around anybody. We know we have to be careful about how we are yoked with people in the world. We can't just participate in things. The scripture says in Romans 14 and 16, Paul said this to the church, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." In other words, he's saying don't let what's going on now good in your life, don't do things to make people speak evil of it. You know, don't be a double-minded person. Don't say, well, you know, I've been washed, I've been saved, I've been filled, and then, you know, and on Sunday you shouting and running and carrying on, and Monday and Tuesday you fussing and fighting and cussing and going on and things, and that would cause people to speak evil of the good that God has already done in your life. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, Paul wrote to the church again, abstain, we know that means to have nothing to do with it, abstain from all appearance of evil. So stay away from the evil stuff. That's what he's telling them. Don't get caught up in these things. And he said, don't, as saints and as church, we have to make sure that we are not caught up in a place where we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. Abstain from even not just the act, but the appearance of evil. Now, that is very important for us to do because we want to shine a good light. We want to make sure we are doing that. But again, God did not call us to be, you know, moral hermits. We don't do nothing wrong, but we don't go nowhere. We don't do nothing. We don't talk to nobody. We don't see nobody. We're not doing anything else. We're not doing good. The true light that will shine, which Jesus said we are the light of the world, he said you've got to let that light so shine. It's got to shine in a manner that people can see your good works. Part of good works is turning away from evil, but on the other side of the coin of good works is doing something with this gospel that God has saved you with, to use the Holy Ghost that he gave you. For you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, saith the Lord. You're going to be witnesses unto me, he said, in all parts of the world, everywhere. And so there's something to this doing good. It's like a two-sided coin. One part is pulling away from things that are not good, but then doing the things that are good. You know, when we read this opening story in the book of Acts about this lady Tabitha, it says she was full of good works. You know, that was her testimony. That before Paul or Peter ever went and worked a miracle, this miracle of resurrection in her life, her testimony was this: she was full of good works. And she did not testify of herself. This is what everybody else told her. She was already gone. She was passed away. She was not doing anything else, but what she had done lived past her life. People will remember what you've done, good or bad. People will remember what you've done. And her testimony lived past her. It outlived her. And even when Peter came to the house, they were bringing evidence of this lady's good works. Look at these coats. Look at all these things that she made for us while she was alive. And she just did this out of the goodness of her heart. This was the kind of person she was. And then, you know, Peter, of course, performs this miracle and resurrects her through the prayers and power and faith in God. But let me tell you this. Being full of good works does not exempt us from the trials of life. And being full of good works does not mean that bad things don't happen. So people always say, well, I'm just doing my best, and why did this happen? Well, it's because that's life. And this woman was a good woman, full of good works, but she still passed away. And I'm sure all the people around were like, she's such a good lady. Why did this happen to her? Because that's life. It's not that she did anything wrong. It's not that God's unjust. It's simply because that's the way things go in the world. It is appointed unto man once to die. Our life is a vapor that appears a little while and then vanishes away. We're going to take our last breath in this world one day, whether we're serving God or not. And so it's not God failing us or being unjust to us because we lose a loved one or lose our life. It happens. It's part of living. But we want to get back to doing good works. And this is what, you know, we need to focus on, is that because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Your light that's shining, that is the good works. If there is no work, there is no light. There's no light shining. He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They need to see whatever you're doing is bringing God glory. It's not lifting you up, building your reputation up. You know, it is giving God the glory. God has worked a miracle in my life. I am different now. You know, a lot of times people without God will turn over a new leaf in their life. They'll say, I'm going to change the way I am. And they'll begin to do things. And maybe it's a health thing. And all of a sudden, you know, they lose 100 pounds. They're working out every day. They're making posts about it. And people are like, wow, you're really doing good. You've done a great job. And they're getting the glory for that because they've done that. But the things that we need to be focused on are reaching this world, being laborers in the harvest. We talked about that last week and doing our part. We need to be doing good works. We need to be doing good. And that is part of doing our part. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus, he sees this guy, a young ruler who wants to know about how do I get to heaven? And so he says, good master, if you can give me Matthew 19 and 16, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He says, what good thing must I do? Well, Jesus, of course, addresses the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he said, well, I've done all these things since I was a child. I've been doing this all my life. He said, okay, but you lack something. Because you're doing all the thou shalt nots. He said, but I need you to do something else. So sell your possessions. Distribute it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Be a witness for me in this world. You've been real good about the thou shalt nots, but now let's do something with this. You ask me what good thing do you need to do, and he said, I'm telling you, but you know, he was very sad at that saying. He said he went away very sad because he had great possessions, and his possessions meant more to him than doing good. It was okay for people to say, you know, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. But you never hear about anybody talking about the good things that he did do. I don't want people to just say, well, you know, see what I know about him. Well, I know he don't do this. I know he don't do that. But will anybody ever say, but they did do this. They did reach out. They did pray. They did testify. They did teach me a Bible study. They did invite me to church. They did give me something to eat. They did put gas in my car. They did something to help me when I was down. It's good to keep the commandments. So if we get too busy, though, doing or not doing wrong, then our focus is just going to be simply on that. If we're so afraid, I'm going to make a mistake, so we're trying so hard not to do wrong that we can't do right because we're afraid to take a step in any direction. You know, it's like when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, we focus on that part. Lord, just, you know, don't lead me into temptation and deliver me from evil. We very careful about watching what we hear, watching what we see, watching what we say, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. We taught on that a few months ago. But the fear that I have for saints today and for the church today is that we have begun to believe that just not doing wrong is enough. As long as I don't do this and as long as I don't do that, I'm going to be okay. But Jesus said there's some things you need to do, not just some things you don't not do. And so God didn't call us out of darkness and into his marvelous light for nothing. It said he called us out to show forth the praises of him. And so it's going to take more than not doing bad to make it to heaven. It's going to take doing some good to get there. I can't just not do bad. I've got to do good. And when you read it, let's go over to Matthew 25. I want to read something to you today and see. It gives us a little more perspective on it. But in Matthew 25, the Lord is talking about at the end of time when the Father will, he's going to separate people, some to the left, some to the right. He refers to them as goats and sheep. He's going to separate them, but he's going to say to the ones on the right hand, this is what he's going to tell them. He said, when I was hungered, this is verse 35, you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and we gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and we came to see you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. It takes doing some good. The dividing, you know, we always talk about the deciding factor. Well, the dividing factor is because in the next proceeding, the verses that come after this, it says that he begins to address those on the left hand. And he says, you didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You didn't visit me. You didn't take me in. You didn't do all these things. And they're going to say, when didn't we do that? He said, when you didn't do it to the least of these. God called us to be instruments of good in this world. The Bible says, again, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And oftentimes the goodness of God is seen through the church. Most often it is seen through the church. It's not just in the beautiful sunsets that we get to enjoy, or the sunrises, or the beauty of creation. We say, oh, God's so good to let us see this sunrise and things like that. It's when the church is acting like him. And when the church is acting like God has done something for me, I'm going to do something for him. I'm going to be a laborer in the harvest. And I'm not just going to run away from all the bad stuff and hide myself and never take a chance on doing anything bad. I'm going off the grid. I'm going to cut off the internet, the electricity, no TV, no phone, no nothing. Nobody can come to my house because I don't want to hear nobody say nothing ugly. I'm not going to town, so I don't have to see nobody acting crazy or talking crazy or worry about being cut off in traffic. I'm just going to stay right here, and I've repented. I've been washed. I've been filled, and now I'm not doing nothing. And nobody even knows what God did for you, because you've shut yourself off from the world. Let me tell you, part of doing good is making mistakes. I guarantee you, you don't get good at something until you make a few mistakes. Anybody that's a carpenter, he's had to recut a board once or twice because he had to learn. Anybody working on a car, a mechanic, and unfortunately, yeah, even people, surgeons working on your body. That's why they have them doing so much before they finally work on somebody live. Make sure you get this right. But, you know, people, before they get good at something, they make mistakes. And guess what? You'll make mistakes when you're trying to learn and live for God. You know, but part of doing good is saying, I missed it. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And then getting up and going on your way. That's doing good. That's how you do good works. That's how you keep doing good works. If we just believe that, well, I made one mistake, so I'm out of the game. Man, this ain't dodgeball. We ain't like, well, I got hit. I'm out. No, you get back up and you keep going and you say, I'm going to do good anyway. David made mistakes, but he got up and he kept going and he kept doing good for God and he kept worshiping and praising God. And he didn't have to drop his head and act like I'm not worthy to praise God. He knew that God loved him. He knew that God's mercy endures forever. He knew that God loved him with an everlasting love. And he knew, I can find a place in his grace where I can keep going and being this anointed king that God called me to be. And when God fills you with the Holy Ghost and washes you and calls you and you begin working hard, man, you're doing everything you can for the kingdom, and you trip up, mess up, he's not ready to just kick you out the door. He's like, but I'm waiting to see what you'll do. Will you get up? Will you say, Lord, forgive me? Will you go about your way? Will you keep doing what I called you to do? What I called you to do. You know, God picked us, called us out of darkness, put us on his team, put us in his church, put us on in his body to do something in this world, to make sure that we are reaching the world, helping them somehow. And every time it's not breaking out your Bible. Sometimes it's just being kind, tenderhearted, having compassion, the Bible says, on some, making a difference. You know, we've seen a lot over the last few weeks, people giving of their own time, their own things, their own efforts to go to these places that have been devastated by these storms, and they're using their own resources to help people out. They're cleaning out their closets, taking things that were theirs and giving up their possessions. That's Book of Acts stuff. Distributing because they knew anything I got, God gave it to me, and so I'm not going to be stingy. And they're helping people out taking time off their jobs and just going and sleeping in campers and stuff and getting up and working all day clear and stuff, just doing something good. And that, friend, will help people understand that there's good in people, but that good comes from God. And so whatever we do, we give God the glory. We let our works, these good works, we just let it shine so people will glorify God. And so it's more than just, you know, because when somebody sees you walking down the street, they go, look at him not drinking. Man, just look at that guy going down the aisle at Walmart. He ain't smoking no dope or nothing. Look at him. No. But when they see you helping somebody, loving somebody, talking to somebody, being kind to somebody. Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, you helped that gentleman a while ago, I've been in stores before and be looking at something. Lady come by and said, "Can you get that off the top shelf?" Yes, that don't mean nothing, does it? Well, she needs that. She can't reach it, so I reached it for her. There you go. Have a good day. God bless you. You know. God bless you too, honey. And just, well, that makes people feel good that somebody's kind. And they see something going on in your life. And they see you pray in a restaurant. You know, don't be embarrassed to thank God for your food. God gave you a job to have money to pay for expensive food out, because everywhere you eat out now is expensive. And ain't no value menu no more. And so you got to thank God. I got a little money to enjoy that hamburger and fries and you know, or to for my kids to enjoy whatever. So thank God. Let's bow our heads, thank the Lord for it. And many times people might come by and say, I appreciate y'all praying over your food. It's not because you're trying to do it so somebody will do that, but people need to see that people do love the Lord, that they do honor God in everything that they do. And so, when the scripture said, these signs would follow them that believed, he meant only when they're in the church building. If the only time we're praying for people is in here, really? You know, he said, these signs would follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, most of the time the sick people ain't here. So the Lord said, when I was sick, you came and visited me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I needed something, you took care of the need. And that's what God is saying. We need to, we need to walk away from some things. We need to put away evil things and things that are unlike the Lord. But then we need to get busy being like the Lord. So just protecting ourselves is not enough. We've got to touch the world with this gospel. And we've got to let people see this light shining inside of us. Peter did say this, 1 Peter 3:11. He said that we ought to eschew evil. I mean, stay away from it. Hate it, despise it, get away from it. Don't want nothing to do with it. But he said, and do good. Don't just, well, I hate evil. But I hate the devil. I hate wickedness. I hate, you know, and that's all you ever talk about. I can't stand people sinning. I can't stand people. You know, if that's all you ever about. People, guess what? I don't want nothing to do with you because I'm still struggling with stuff. And so I feel like I can't be around you because you hate me. He said, eschew evil and do good. Man, I'm glad Jesus came around when I was still being stupid and still doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And I'm so glad that Jesus still loved me and had compassion on me when I ignored him and you know, just did things that were unlike him. So eschew evil, do that part, get that right, and do good. Yeah. Seek peace and ensue it, pursue after it, get more of it. Advocate for it. Let's do that. Look at what Jesus said, Luke chapter 6. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear. Everybody hear me? I'm reading what the Lord said. I say unto you which hear, love your enemy. Do good to them which hate you. Do what? Do good. Do what? Do good. Did the Lord say, talk about them that hate you. Post about them that hate you. Gossip about them that hate you. He said, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And if all this seems incredible and crazy, you ain't known real peace like Peter talked about until you do that. When you do that, there's a peace of God that passeth understanding that will settle on you. And you can walk upright and hold your head up, not in arrogance, but you can walk in confidence that I am doing what the Lord said to do. And you're not worried about people who talk about you. You're not worried about people who don't like you because you know you're doing good. So unto him that smites you on the one cheek, it's where people get like, unto him that smites you on one cheek, offer also the other. People's like, I hope I never get that test. I might come out of retirement. You know, no. And tough stuff, ain't it? Tough stuff. Somebody who would smite you, slap you, give him the other one. Whew. Someone takes away your cloak, let him take your coat too. Must need it. Give to every man that asks of you. Him that takes away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. That golden rule we used to hear at school. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So however you'd have people treat you, you treat them the same way. Regardless of how they treat you. There's not a clause in there that says, but if they treat, he didn't say treat them the way they treat you. Treat them like you would have them treat you. And so if you would have people be kind to you, then be kind to people. That's why the merciful shall obtain mercy. If you would have people speak nice about you, then speak nice about people. Lessons on doing good. scripture. Hey, it's in your Bible, the Bible that where you find all them other good scriptures. This, all this is in there. We read over it pretty quick, but it's in there. And when we slow down and ease over that speed bump, we really see some things. He said, because if you love them which love you, then what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which only do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And so if you lend to them to whom you have hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And everybody should say amen. Because before we knew him, he was good to us. Before we knew him, he was kind to us. Before we were ever washed and filled, God was good. He said, so be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. We must do good. We cannot get what we need to be saved and then retire and hide and not reach for the world. Everybody always says, I want to be more like Jesus. Well, Acts 10 and 38, Peter was preaching, and this is how he described Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Sound familiar, saints? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Who went about doing good. He went about doing good, and that was the Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. That was the Father's business. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God is with us always, even unto the end of the world. He will not leave us or forsake us. God is with us. God has filled us with the Holy Ghost and with power. We should be going about doing good. The servant, the scripture says, is not greater than his master. We must work the works of Jesus. Jesus would say, I must work the works of him who sent me. That was the way he would describe it. Well, we've been sent. And we must work the works of the one who sent us while there is still time. He said, I've got to work while it's light because the night comes when no man can work. And friend, the night is going to come when no man can work. We must be about the Father's business now. Doing. The world needs us. It might not want us, but it needs us. It didn't want him, but it needed him. And they may not realize, you know, there's a lot of people didn't realize that they needed him until they saw what he could do. When he stepped into their life and did something great. When the Samaritan woman that, oh, you know, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, and we don't have any dealings with each other. But here he is offering living water. And she says, this is the Christ. This is who I need. I've got to have him. She runs telling everybody, surely this is the Christ. She starts telling people about this man who stepped across the barriers of that day and said, I'll give you living water. The world may not want us, may not even like us, but the world needs us. And when things start happening, let me tell you, I don't care how bad somebody, you think everybody that was hurting them storms was all God-fearing people? I'm sure there were some atheists, some people who probably never even been to church. But now people who love God and just being kind and showing the love of God and the mercy of God are dropping off things. And you think that, you know, that's softening people's hearts. That's causing people to realize, hey, maybe I shouldn't be so ugly and mean and heartless. And you never know where they might say, hey, where did y'all come from? And they might say, our church got this together to give. But they don't even know me. And y'all are in another state. Yeah, but We see the need, so we're reaching out. And people are like, oh, ooh, that's how you get pricked in the heart right there. Doing works like that. That's how things start changing. Wow, wait a minute. You don't even know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've lived my life, and yet you would drive up here, use your gas, use your money, bring this stuff, give it to us, risk maybe getting stuck or getting hurt yourself, and you did all that. Why? Because that's what we do. We do good because it's the right thing to do. Not for any other, not for worldly acclaim, not for pats on the back, simply to glorify our Father that is in heaven. That's what I want to do. I want to make sure that we're reaching out. This world needs us. We can't just be not sinners. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. We are workers together with Him. The first commandment says that I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, everything that's in me. The second is like unto it, love my neighbor as myself. One man would ask Jesus, who is my neighbor? He began to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, how that this man, he came upon a man who had been attacked by thieves, and they beat him and left him for dead on the side of the road. And the priest came by and didn't do nothing. The Levites, the different ones that come out, they don't do anything. And here comes this Samaritan guy, looks over there, starts pouring his own oil and wine into his wounds and binding him up, using his own stuff to fix him, puts him on his animal, takes him into town, takes him to an inn, takes his money and pays for the guy and says, and if he said, take care of him. He said, when I come back through, I'll check on him. If he owes anything, I'll pay it. And he said, that's your neighbor. Somebody's in need, that's your neighbor. Somebody's been hurt, that's your neighbor. Somebody that you maybe would never even deal with, that's still your neighbor. Your neighbor is any other flesh and blood breathing human on this planet. That's your neighbor. Doesn't matter what language they speak, what continent they're on, they're your neighbors. We are all neighbors on this planet because God died for all of us. 10:38, I'm doing good. Paul wrote this to the church, Romans 12 and 21, which I'm always trying to make sure I don't get overcome with the wrong thing. He said, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. When you're doing good, you're keeping evil at bay. You know, that helps. When you're doing good, you know, the Bible says, you know, you've heard the people say, you know, idleness is not good. When you're not doing nothing, your mind wanders. You start trying to create things to do. And most of the time, that gets you in trouble. Idleness, it's not good. So if we're doing good, if we're busy doing good, it's hard to be busy doing anything else. If we're about the Father's business, it's hard to be about everybody else's business. You get about the Father's business, you'll stay off social media. You won't spend time researching what other people are doing. I forget what they call that, but, you know. Yeah, just nosy. Let's just go with the good old tried and true term. Just quit being nosy. Get out of people's backyard. Leave it alone, you know. That's just it. We're not supposed to be. The Bible talks about it. Don't be busybodies, wording other people's stuff. So what? So what if they're doing that? Does it really affect you, or is it just, you know, make you mad? Whatever. Just leave it alone. Do good. Without good works, we're headed toward being overcome by evil, bad things, stuff we don't want to do. In Titus 2 and 7, he said, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Don't be good at church and then be bad on the job, because people know where you go to church. I've told people before, this is the truth, man. If you're going to act a fool all week, don't be telling people where you go. You just show up on Sunday, but don't tell everybody where you go to church, because they're going to see you and think, I bet everybody in that church acts like that nut. I'm not going there. You see the way that dude acts, the way he talks, the way he, you know, Yeah, the way he treats people, the way they treat people. Mm-mm, I'm not going. And all things show yourself a pattern of good works. Don't get caught up, you know, running with the crowd at school or running with the crowd at work and everything, sitting around the lunch table talking ugly, saying ugly. Just don't do it. If we love this life, stand up for it and live it. Just live this life. I love this life. You know, I love more than not doing bad things. I love doing good things. So I don't want God. Well, I got a record of everything you didn't do from the time, but I don't have a very long record of what you are doing. Because even though I was doing a lot of wrong things, the list of wrong should never even come close to being as long as the list of what I've done right. That's the truth. So Ephesians, Paul wrote this, Ephesians 6 and 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. God's watching and waiting to reward us. Knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. In that day, he said, it matter if they were a servant, whether they're a free man. But if they're doing good, he said, it doesn't matter where you are, what your position is, you can still do good if your perspective's right. 1 Timothy 6:18, they that do good, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, that doesn't mean ready to talk. That means the word communicate there means participate. So not willing to spectate, but willing to participate. Do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to participate, Hebrews 13 and 16. But to do good and to participate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In 3 John verse 11, he that doeth good is of God. He that doeth good is of God. I want to do good. In James 4 and 17, and this scripture has a special place in my heart because it was the scripture the Lord used to get my heart and bring me to the altar. And I don't have time to tell that story right now, but James 4 and 17 says, therefore to him, to any person that knows to do good, if you know to do good but you don't do it, to him it is sin. And what are the wages of sin? Death. The wages of sin are death. So I don't want to die because I'm not doing the good that God has called me to do. Galatians 6 and 9 and 10. Paul said to the church, again, all these instructions are to the saints. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So sometimes the church is so worried about the world that it forgets about the ones that sit beside them. He said, we ought to do good unto all men, everybody, but don't forget about those that worship with you, that pray with you, that sit with you, that serve with you. Don't forget them, because you think, oh, well, they're in church, they got it all together. Oh, man. We all need. You know, you can be speaking in tongues and going through the worst trial of your life. We all need somebody to be our friend, to have compassion on us, to be kind to us, to encourage us. And you can stand with me. And I don't know if I wrote this down, Matthew, or not. I'm not sure if I put this on the list. But if you can pull up Psalms chapter 4 and verse 6. Thought about this right at the end, and that's why I wasn't sure if I gave it to you. There be many that say, who will show us any good? That's the world today. Who's going to show us any good? Who's going to help us? Who's going to reach for us? Who's going to pray for us? Who's going to teach us? There'd be many, there's many people out there today wondering, where is my access to the good? Who's going to be that conduit? Who's going to come to me? Who's going to be that compassionate person, that person that'll pray, the person that'll invite me, that'll say, hey, I'll take you with me. Who's going to show us God? Because Jesus said, when the rich young ruler said, good master, he said, there's only one good, and that's God. So who's going to show me God? Who's going to show me anything about the Lord? Who's going to show me his love, his mercy, his compassion? Who's going to do it? Well, if not the church, then who? If not us that have been washed and sanctified and justified, filled with the Spirit, if not us, then who? Who's going to do it? This is part of doing our part. This is part of doing good, that we tell somebody about Jesus. Because we are more than not sinners. We are the body of Christ. We are his bride. We are his church. And we are doing the will and work of the Lord. We are laborers in the harvest. Scripture says, he that winneth souls is wise. That means somebody's got to be a soul winner. So let's don't quit. Let's don't get weary. Because somebody that you know is counting on you to simply do good. Show them what God can actually do with a life. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much today. Thank you. Thank you for that call out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to walk in this path, Lord, and Lord, for helping us up when we fall. Lord, for picking us up and, Lord, helping us to go along our way. Thank you for mercy and grace that's never ending and unmatched. God, we thank you today. Let us be more like you, doing good works, loving people, loving this world, showing somebody goodness and mercy, leading them to a place where you can help them, Lord, much more than we can. But God, just help us to receive this word today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. God's good. Praise the Lord. All right, let's do good. And you are doing good. Let's keep doing good. Paul said don't get weary in your well-doing. So it's not that you're not doing good. You're doing good. Keep on doing. Keep on doing.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.